Did you get a filling done by your dentist and it still hurts? Get a second opinion from a biomedically trained dentist at Dental Pros of Utah. Rebuild your teeth layer by layer with Kevlar fibers. You won't ever have tooth sensitivity ever again. DentalProsOfUtah.com, 801-756-0360. That's 801-756-0360, DentalProsOfUtah.com. Let's welcome him in. He's the host of the Cougar Center podcast. He's 6'3", 245 pounds of solid muscle, maybe about, I'd say, 10% body fat. I call him Big Stick Mitch. He will throw harpoons of hate at you, and he will fire you like Donald Trump if you are underperforming. Mitchell Harper, the guru of recruiting at CougarNation.com. What's up, Mitchell?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing today?
Fantastic. Thanks for joining us. Let's start off with some quarterback talk real quick. So we put out this question of the day. You're a recruiting guru, but as it applies to BYU recruiting, okay? Since the inception of the star system, the two highest-rated quarterbacks BYU assigned were Ben Olsen and Jake Heaps. Can we agree on that? Is that true?
I'm sorry. He was going in and out there. I apologize, guys. Say that again.
Okay, since the inception of the star system, the two highest-rated quarterbacks BYU assigned were Ben Olsen and Jake Heaps. Is that true? Are those the two highest-rated quarterbacks?
Yeah, that is correct. Ben Olsen, 2002, when he signed, it was like he was the number one recruit in the country. 2010, Jake Heaps was considered the number one pro-style quarterback in 2010, but the best prospect overall in the West. So, yeah, those have been the two highest guys thus far that BYU signed in the recruiting site era.
Now, I would love to get your rankings, kind of like the top 10 highest-rated BYU quarterbacks in the modern era. Right now, as me and Cam have been going through it, Ben Olsen, Jake Heaps, Matt Barry, Tanner Mangum are our top four. Is that what you would have?
You know, when I think about it, it does remind me of Matt Barry because he was some. I would say that is probably about right because Barry was someone who, you know, he was expected to be the future quarterback well before John Beck until Crowan kind of changed the narrative and really turned to John Beck going into that 2004 season. But, you know, I think that those would be the top four, and that's why there's a lot of expectation when you talk about Tanner Mangum this year and what he could potentially do for this BYU team just because of all the accolades that he had coming out of high school. Because let's face it, whenever these guys have the stars next to their name, fans are naturally going to expect a lot of production. And more times than not, these kids that do come out of high school, they are talented enough to do it, but you know, extenuating circumstances can cause them maybe to have that bust label like we saw with three of those four thus far.
You know, Mitch, we've talked about the star system. You know, does that work? Doesn't it work? And we've talked about some stats in the NFL that there actually is a strong correlation to those that made the Pro Bowl 2-4, 5-star, and 3-star. Why do you think we've struggled with that at BYU where it hasn't been the case here? But statistically speaking, those stars do work.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue for BYU is, you know, they haven't been winning as much. I mean, you know, BYU in the 80s and 90s, and even the early 2000s, they had a brand that was a national brand. I mean, BYU would go into a stadium, and they were a feared opposition. I mean, they'd beat the likes of Oregon, and it was, you know, just ho-hum. Like, that was what BYU was supposed to do back then because they were really a national power, and people tend to forget that. Now, you know, things have changed, and BYU's not a bad program by any stretch, but they have taken a little bit of a step back in terms of perception. And that's the big thing when it comes to college football. Kids look at things like conferences. They look at, you know, access to the NFL. And BYU just hasn't produced enough to the NFL, and they're not in the biggest conference. So perception-wise, BYU is a notch below. But I think that's why fans should be so excited about what's going on down in Provo, because they do have a coaching staff that understands that those past great days of BYU, and they're trying to bring it back to the future. And I think that's why, you know, this coaching staff truly is just a great fit for what BYU is doing, because they're going into kids' homes and saying, I did this at BYU, and look what I'm doing. I'm coaching. I had an NFL career. You know, there's just so much examples of that on the coaching staff, and they can really sell from personal experience to these kids that might be uneducated on what BYU has to offer, because as we all know, I mean, you guys know it better than anyone, BYU has a ton to offer any given kid, and this coaching staff really understands, and they're really selling it on the recruiting trail.
I have the other guys on my list right now as far as top-rated quarterback recruits for BYU in the modern era. After Tanner Mangum, I got Max Hall, I got James Lark, I got Jason Munns, Taysom Hill, John Beck. Out of those five, and you can add whoever else you want on that list. As I mentioned, Max Hall, James Lark, Jason Munns, Taysom Hill, John Beck. Are there any others, and how would they rank out?
You know, that would be pretty spot on yet again. I mean, John Beck was someone, he had offers from, like, Miami late in the process, and he was, if we would have had recruiting sites going when he was kind of going through his recruiting deal, because he left on a mission before he enrolled at BYU in 2003, he would have probably been a four-star kid, like with so many that we've seen at BYU over the years. But yeah, that's probably, you know, about right. I mean, the thing is that most of these kids, you think about it too, BYU hasn't had many guys. You mentioned Max Hall and Taysom Hill. Those were guys that didn't sign with BYU originally on signing day. So really, it's kind of interesting how the most heralded guys that have signed with BYU, other than Tanner Mangum, really haven't panned out to be like, you know, the next great chapter in quarterback U at BYU. So it's really interesting when you do think of it and put it in that context.
Mitch Harper of ESPN 960 and CougarNation.com, the host of the Cougar Center podcast here on ESPN 960. Mitchell, the Fan Fest is occurring tomorrow. Which recruits will show up, do you think, and who would they welcome with open arms if they did?
Yeah, I mean, it's always interesting with the Fan Fest because we've seen like some stops in Vegas and in Texas. They had Joshua Oglesby visited there and kind of conversed with coaches. Kind of an interesting thing because, you know, coaches obviously can't say, hey, come to this Fan Fest, because that would be, you know, an NCAA violation here. But the thing is that kids are going to maybe show up and they're going to be aware that this coaching staff, these guys that talk with them, are going to be in the area. So they're going to appear and they're going to show up. You know, naturally, a guy like Tanner McKee, four-star recruit, quarterback, is someone that people have mentioned, but he's actually going to be at the Elite 11 camp this weekend. So Corona, California, it's in his backyard, but unfortunately he's not going to be able to go to the Fan Fest this weekend. But maybe guys like Dallas Taylor Cortez, he might be visiting. He's in that area. He's a kid that's really blowing up on the recruiting trail. He actually just got an offer from the University of Utah today. BYU was the first school to offer him, and he still – you know, has a high praise for Jarrell Guilford and the relationship that he has there, but he's piling up Power 5 offers left and right. And maybe that would be a sign for BYU if, you know, he was to show up at the Fan Fest, the type of interest he still has in BYU, because at one point it felt like he was going to be kind of a foregone conclusion to commit, but now with all the offers that he's been receiving, it's not as maybe for sure anymore. But I would say those are two of the more notable kids. But there's so many guys in California. You know, BYU's been recruiting a lot of prospects. Kamikani Crosby, who we've had on the program, a defensive lineman. Tyler Manoa wants a BYU commit. He's got BYU currently in his top five. He's reevaluating things. He's a defensive tackle, a three-star kid. So, you know, California, that's why it's not a coincidence that this staff chooses areas like Texas, California, Las Vegas to go into these Fan Fests, because, as we've talked about many times in this program, Kalani's known for knocking two birds out with one stone, and it's kind of a way to just invite kids, if you'd like, to come see BYU firsthand.
What are you hearing about the Elite 11 performances thus far? Are you hearing any buzz surrounding Tanner McKee?
Tanner McKee is considered, you know, to be maybe the best pro-style quarterback in the country. There's some really good dual-threat quarterbacks this year in college football. One in particular committed to Penn State recently, but Tanner McKee might be the best pro style quarterback. And I wouldn't be surprised, guys, if he, you know, with the performance, the buzz he's been gaining on the recruiting trail and these camps, and that he could possibly be, you know, an Elite 11 MVP. We've seen it before with Tanner Mangum. We've seen it with Jake Heaps in the past. So I wouldn't be surprised, just because, you know, Tanner McKee's skill set. I talked with him, and I have an article up on CougarNation.com right now, that a conversation I had with Tanner. And he even said, like, right now I run a shotgun spread offense, but I'm really, you know, ideally want to play a pro-style offense at the next level, just because I have a goal of, you know, if I'm fortunate enough to get to the NFL. And he expressed that a pro-style offense is something that's very interesting to him. And at the Elite 11 camps, they go in pro-style, under-center offenses. So I think he's someone that could thrive in that, because he's embracing that and he wants to go under-center, unlike most quarterbacks today that kind of refuse to go under center. They'd rather go in shotgun.
Mitch, obviously he's kind of leaning, well, he's looking at BYU, Stanford, and Alabama, all pro-style offenses. Do you hear or anything about him leaning one way? Is it down to BYU and Stanford? Is Alabama still in it? Where is he at right now?
Yeah, I mean, right now he, you know, I talked with him, like I said, and he's got 27 offers right now. Oddly enough, Stanford has yet to offer. I don't know exactly what's their reasoning for waiting. I haven't got word on that, but Stanford and Notre Dame are two schools to maybe keep an eye on that haven't yet offered that could get into the picture very soon. But I think the top schools right now for Tanner McKee, and he didn't say this particularly in his interview, he's going to whittle down the list to about five in the next 2 months, probably before his senior year of his high school football season. But I would say BYU, Alabama, Washington, North Carolina, and maybe you could say Stanford as well. I think those are probably the top five for Tanner McKee. And but again, you know, it's high school kids. That could change one day to another top five. But I would say those are five schools that are really kind of, you know, leaders that could be, possibly winning on Tanner McKee's services when he ultimately does commit.
Mitch Harper of ESPN 960 and CougarNation.com. Mitch, what is the relationship like between Tanner McKee and Ty Detmer?
You know, I asked him about Ty, and he said that it was interesting. He said one of the first things that he stood out was that he's had a ton of success at the NFL level. You know, and it kind of, you know, when I heard that, it kind of struck me because, you know, when Ty got hired, you know, we heard a lot about, oh, you know, the Heisman just impresses so many. But I said, you know, I was thinking to myself, you know, at some point, you know, his coaching prowess is going to have to win folks over. I mean, and he's got a year under his belt, but still kids look at Ty and say, man, he did it so long in the NFL. He did win the Heisman. They're still very impressed with what he did as a player. And they're still, you know, and Tanner McKee said, you know, he feels that Ty is going to be a very good coach at BYU. So I think that there's a strong relationship there. They talk pretty often. He talks occasionally with Kalani as well, but the main correspondence is with Ty. But he's very impressed with the fact that Ty did it so long in the NFL, and I think that's got to help BYU because, again, you know, Tanner McKee said he ideally wants to get to the NFL. That's a goal of his, and to have a quarterback that actually did it for so long, over a decade, it can only help BYU rather than hurt.
Mitch, what are BYU's chances in landing Tanner McKee right now, in your opinion?
You know, I think they got a great chance of landing Tanner McKee. I think BYU fans are going to have to wait a long time. Because we've seen in the past some of those guys like Ben Olsen and Jake Heaps they were talking about earlier, they committed early. Jake Heaps committed in the summertime before his signing day. Ben Olsen, I remember, committed the day after the San Diego State game in 2001 in the middle of the season. And, you know, it was a big deal then, well before signing day. I think this one's going to be a situation where we might be waiting till that February signing day. I asked him about the early signing period, if that was something that interested him, but he said that he's not feeling any pressure to commit early. He's going to take his time, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's waiting until signing day, and that's not a problem because BYU is going to be definitely invested in him all the way to the bitter end, but I think they got a great shot. I think that BYU, being an LDS school, being a staff that is promoting the NFL like they have this offseason, and since they took over, you're seeing, you know, pro-style combines for the current program and youngsters coming up in the future. They're making a commitment to getting kids to the league in the future. So that commitment, plus the spiritual side of things, I think it only helps BYU's their positioning with Tanner McKee.
Mitch, we talked earlier in the show about usually it seems like kids want to make that announcement almost before their senior season. There's not as much distraction on the team, on them. They can focus on it. You know, obviously some do, some don't. Do you have any reason why he's waiting? Are there reasons or what are your thoughts?
You know, that's a good question because I think kind of like you that it's wise for kids to maybe commit early just because, hey, then maybe you can go out and recruit other kids to join you because it takes more than just one guy to win in football. You got to have a collection of talent, and maybe you commit to a school and that sends a wave of a ripple effect of kids saying, hey, maybe I want to pair up with a guy like Tanner McKee wherever he commits to. So, I mean, I think his maybe just reasoning is he is holding out maybe on Stanford. He is holding out on maybe Notre Dame schools that have yet to offer, and he wants to see those schools maybe come with an offer. Because I think Stanford is definitely very attractive. I mean, the kid's got a 4.2 GPA. He's really smart. He already knows what he wants to get into as far as the degree at this point. So he's good on and off the field. So if a school like Stanford comes to the mix with at a place where they're in your home state, I think that could be cause as to why he might be wanting to wait.
What does Tanner McKee want to study?
He wants to study, he said that right now, business and finance. So I think that might be another thing that helps BYU as well with their excellent business program.
There you go, and finance program. Oh, they do a fantastic job. My brother's in the MBA program right now. He's definitely loving it. He just got an internship with Johnson & Johnson.
Wow.
Massive.
Congrats.
Yeah,
congrats.
Congratulations to my little brother. But congratulations to you, Mitchell, for sitting down with Tanner McKee, the product out of Centennial High, the four-star recruit, soon to be five-star, I bet. Soon to be five-star. I won't be surprised. I wonder, do you think Stanford and Notre Dame are hesitant to offer just because they feel like Tanner is a BYU lean?
I think it's more so the LDS mission factor. You got to think with Stanford, they have personal experience already with Taysom Hill. Do they want to commit a scholarship to a kid that might not come back? Notre Dame situation, they might just maybe not be well-versed on what an LDS mission entails. So I think that's part of the reasoning, and maybe they have other options as well. But I think that's a big part of the reason why they've been waiting.
We've been talking a little bit about quarterbacks. Let me come back to the quarterback discussion that we began with. I mentioned that three out of the four highest-ranked BYU quarterbacks of the modern era ended up being somewhat of a bust. But we still have Tanner Mangum. He had a fantastic freshman year, and we were comparing his freshman year to Jake Heap's freshman year. And literally, you're two plays away, Mitch, and I want to get your thoughts on this. Are you two plays away from having a Jake Heaps-type freshman season that's good but not great with Tanner Mangum?
You know, that's a good point. I mean, he really could make that argument because if he doesn't have that Hail Mary miracle against Nebraska, he doesn't have the late-game heroics against Boise State where they were down by four with under a minute left, yeah, I think maybe we're having a little bit different narrative. I think
and one field goal away for Jake Heaps having a great season and beating Utah. One field goal away.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's, you know, even with Utah and Jake Heaps, people tend to forget BYU was up 10-9 in that game, if I'm not mistaken, in that Utah game where they ended up losing 54-10. I mean, BYU was up early in that second quarter. But, you know, I think that Mangum, though, I just think that, you know, right now I kind of maybe changed my narrative a little bit with Mangum personally after seeing what I saw in the spring game because I think there's still a long way to go before this talk of him being an NFL quarterback. I thought after that first season, I thought this guy's a surefire NFL prospect. He's going to be gone. You know, BYU fans better be lucky to have him after the 2015 season because this guy is going to be gone. I mean, he's just got that much potential. But I think it is taking a bit of a time to learn this pro-style offense and master the nuances of it. So I think it's going to be a little bit of a learning process, but I think Mangum, his ability to learn an offense inside and out, he's a quick study. I think that, you know, I just think overall, I think the biggest thing for him is leadership and making smart decisions. I think he's going to perform well for BYU this season.
Mitchell Harper, nobody does it better. CougarNation.com is where he resides. He's the host of the Cougar Center podcast as well. And one of our co-hosts and contributors here at ESPN 960. Thank you, Mitchell. Did you get a filling done by your dentist and it still hurts? Get a second opinion from a biomedically trained dentist at Dental Pros of Utah. Rebuild your teeth layer by layer with Kevlar fibers. You won't ever have tooth sensitivity ever again. DentalProsOfUtah.com, 801-756-0360. That's 801-756-0360, DentalProsOfUtah.com.